24 minutes to the hour of 10, you are listening to the Basic Fiqh program on Radio Islam International. We continue with our discussion on challenges facing the youth this morning with Mufti Zubair Bayyad. We started off this discussion on the 2nd of the 11th, that's about 2 weeks ago, and thereafter we halted because of the other programs or the other matters that took precedence. So when we were discussing the challenges facing the youth, this is actually based on a presentation done by Mufti Zubair in Rustenburg. It was a special seminar for the youth there. And Mufti Sahab spoke about the Sahaba, the young Sahaba, the youth of the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, that played a very pivotal role in the spreading of deen. For example, Mus'ab ibn Umair radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Usama bin Zayd, who compiled the Quran at a very young age of only 23. Zayd ibn Thabit. And then we had Usama bin Zayd, who was the leader of the army in his early 20s. And then Muhammad bin Qasim, the conqueror of Hind, or should we say India. And then Mufti Sahab went on to speak of some of the challenges facing the youth. We spoke about apostasy. We spoke about firqa batila, the different groups that are there. And also extremism that has gripped our youth today, because they find it difficult to find their identity, and as a result they are caught in extremism. Those are the 3 points that we discussed previously. Today we further the same discussion with Mufti Sahab. Let's welcome him first. Mufti Sahab, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Maulana, and assalamu alaikum to all the esteemed listeners of Radio Islam International.
Mufti Sahab, as I alluded in my introduction, that inshallah we'll continue with our discussion on the challenges facing the youth.
Yes, Maulana, inshallah. Since we are coming to the vacation period where virtually thousands and thousands of young people will be just, free and walking around and at home and away from the responsibility of school and education. So this is a challenging time indeed for the parents, especially as to what to do with their children and how to steer them in the right direction. So certainly it's important that we speak about the challenges facing the youth, especially at this holiday vacation time and festive season, as they call it, as it's coming. Some of the things that we had discussed earlier on, you had recapped most kindly, Maulana. Jazakumullah.
Mufti Sahab, we can continue, inshallah, with point number four.
Okay, so point number four, we could say one of the big challenges that is facing the youth of this time is also, along with apostasy and, you know, the deviated sects and extremism, where, of course, I'm not sure if I'd explained much about the concept of extremism.
No, Mufti Sahab.
But let me just briefly explain it before we go on to the fourth challenge. And this extremism is where we find that the youth now are taking a very literal interpretation of certain verses of the Holy Quran, certain sayings of Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they are taking a position that the problems or the issues of mankind, all the problems and difficulties that mankind is facing, can only be solved by violence and by warfare, and they have this ideological picture, of a kind of a utopia. Utopia is a world where everything is absolutely perfect, a make-believe perfect world. They believe that everything will be if we do what we do, what we decide to do, what we think we should be doing, then we will be creating a perfect world for the people to live in. And this extremism then is also manifested in the manner in which they treat the people around them. They have a kind of a superiority attitude. They look down upon others. They despise people who they regard as sinners or sinful people. or people who may be leading a bit of a liberal way of life. They are quick to pass verdicts and fatwas on people. In fact, it goes to the point where they even resort to making takfir and regarding people as kafir and out of the fold of Islam. And hence, they are worthy of, execution. They have no qualms in executing fellow Muslims just because they do not agree with the way of life of those people or their actions or their lifestyle, or there may be some difference of opinion insofar as a valid opinion regarding issues of difference of opinion of fiqh, where you have jurisprudential differences, whether a person should read in a particular way or not in a particular way, the salah, or the other aspects of deen. So here we find that they take a very, literal interpretation. They take a very rigid view. They do not accommodate any kind of difference of opinion. They are very staunch on an extreme on their position as far as these matters of fiqh are concerned. And they do not accommodate any difference of opinion, which was a valid practice from the time of Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Through the eras of history, we found difference of opinion as far as fiqh and jurisprudence is concerned. But they do not accommodate such differences. They believe that what we think is right, and anybody else, no matter what opinion they hold, that opinion is wrong, it is null and void. So these are some manifestations of this extremism that we find gripping the world today, especially for our Muslim youth. This is one thing that's a danger that they face. So we should be very, very careful about this danger of extremism. When we talk of extremism, we talk about extremism on the side of, being over, zealous in practicing Islam to the point that they put themselves into a lot of hardship and they put the people around them into hardship. Whereas Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam has clearly stated that yassiru wa la tu'assiru, bashiru wa la tunaffiru. You should make things easy for the people and do not make things difficult for the people. You should give glad tidings to the people and you should not drive the people away. So this is one serious challenge that we are facing today. More and more youth are being attracted towards this phenomenon, and it becomes very difficult to even reason with them or to explain to them, because they believe that now whatever they know, this is correct, and whatever anybody else says, it is not correct. No matter which alim is presented, no matter which alim's names are put forward, they will find a fault with every alim. They will not find the ulama worthy of following, and they are self-opinionated. They follow their own opinion with very little knowledge, unfortunately. They lack completely in knowledge, and even worse, they lack in understanding. One is to have knowledge by reading books and so on, but beyond a knowledge is a concept of understanding. And that understanding is more important than even the knowledge itself, because knowledge without proper understanding can be very, very dangerous. So this is what we find, this phenomenon. May Allah Ta'ala save us and protect our children and progeny from this this kind of outlook in Deenul Islam.
Ameen.
Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did refer to a deviated sect that will appear in his ummah with very extremist leanings and tendencies, and these are referred to as the Khawarij. The Khawarij was one sect in Islam that took a very extreme position. Outwardly, they proposed or they projected an image of piety, extreme piety and righteousness. But in reality, they were not Muslim in the true sense of the word, and Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in fact condemned them very strongly in the ahadith. And these were the people who were responsible for mayhem and chaos in the Muslim world in their time. These were the very people who were responsible for the assassination of Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu and some other sahaba, and they attempted an assassination of Sayyidina Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala anhu, which they did not succeed. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala was martyred by this corrupt lot of fellows at the time of Salatul Fajr, when he was proceeding. One of the assassins attacked him, Ibn Muljim, and these were the people who belonged to the Khawarij sect, or the extremists of that time. So the next challenge, I think, after that, Maulana, is also this challenge, and I'm trying to keep a kind of a order in our discussion of challenges, where we first covering ideological challenges before we even going to challenges of action and deeds. Because the ideological challenges are far more serious and far more dangerous than even the challenges of action and deeds. Because it affects a person's beliefs, it affects a person's aqidah. And aqidah and belief is everything in Islam. Your actions may be, reprehensible. Your actions may be abominable, but if your belief is correct, there is hope for salvation, and there is hope of forgiveness and intercession. But if a person's aqidah and belief itself is corrupt and putrid, then there is no hope of any kind of salvation or any kind of intercession or forgiveness for such a person in the Akhirah because of deviated and corrupted beliefs. So this is the reason why this aspect of ideology and beliefs is so important, and this is the reason why I'm trying to cover these first in the challenges relating to the youth before going to other aspects. Now, with the fourth challenge we look at here, is the challenge of Satanism and cults and things relating to the occult. This is another big challenge that our youth are facing today, that there is a rising tendency towards Satanism. There's an ascendancy of these evil and vile things. Satanism is basically Satan worship. And there is unfortunately a kind of a leaning in this direction. There is a gravitation towards this. I'm not saying that our Muslim youth, but youth in general, there is a gravitation towards Satan worship and Satanism. It has hit our media from time to time. There have been headlines about some youth who affected by Satan worship and Satanism. They carried out certain cultish practices like murder and so on. I recall that I went to one of the towns in the Free State, and there was a very big case there of a girl who had actually murdered very close family members. And this was because she was influenced by satanistic beliefs and Satanism in general. So Satanism is on the rise, and people do this out of curiosity. They do it out of seeking some kind of adventure or looking for some kind of a thrill. They resort to these things, not realizing that they're actually putting their very iman at stake. And of course, Satanism is being glorified in this day and age. There is a kind of, almost a promotion of Satanism, so to say, Maulana. You have, many books have been written with a kind of a theme of Satanism or a subliminal, message of Satanism in those writings and books. For example, the Harry Potter books. This is why our ulama have always been speaking out against these. Now, of course, from books, it will go to the next stage, it will go to movies and so on. Then you'll find probably some kind of games coming now. So this is how these things are entrenched in the people. And recently we had the Charlie Charlie game. I'm sure you recall that one, Maulana.
Gee,
We even discussed it at length here on Radio Islam.
Mm-hmm.
Now, these may be sounding very innocuous and innocent, but actually speaking, these are where there are elements and the traces of paganism and Satanism are found in these kind of little games that are played. And these are the stepping stones towards bigger things. Obviously, you've got to take one step at a time, so people take the smaller steps first, then they start taking the bigger steps. So these little things, like little games that seem so innocent, these are those games that actually eventually lead up to the bigger things, and eventually a person gets into the actual Satan worship. May Allah Ta'ala save us and protect us and our progeny till Qiyamah from this serious, deviations.
Ameen.
So that is possibly the fourth discussion that we're having regarding the challenges facing the youth. Thereafter, we have a number of challenges that are not necessarily very ideological, but also quite serious and relating to the, habits and practices and manners and conduct and lifestyle of our youth. So among these, obviously, among the very most grave and serious ones is, for example, the challenge of drugs and drugging. Now, this itself, Maulana, is a huge subject. A lot can be spoken about this itself. I'm sure many, many people, the listeners who are listening today and others, will know of instances probably in their families or close families or neighbors or somebody or the other who was afflicted with this problem of drugs. There's hardly any family that hasn't been affected or touched by the scourge of drugs. And it has absolutely wreaked havoc in the community. It has destroyed the lives of many young men, and even worse, the lives of many young women. Many of the sisters, unfortunately, are caught up in this. And the horrifying, hair-raising stories, Ma, that we hear, what the experiences these people go through, and sometimes what experiences they go through at the hands of drug lords and these mafias, and how they exploit and abuse these sisters just because they're so desperate to have their fix and their drug, that they are prepared to actually do the most, immoral and the most repulsive things imaginable, just for that sake. And these are not make-believe things. These are not imaginary things. These are facts and reality. We can ask the people who are involved in this field. MashaAllah, there are some people who are doing excellent work in this field, working with addicts, both male and female. And they give you the stories of what goes on and what happens. And it's like unbelievable. You just left absolutely aghast that these kind of things are happening in our community. And this is all related to drugging and substance abuse. And of course, the twin of drugs is drinks, Maulana. Now, here again we find, it's becoming very, very alarming and frightening. Many young people are now resorting to drink. They are drinking. They have absolutely no fear regarding the fact that drinking is haram. It is prohibited. It is not allowed at all. It is the mother of all evil and vices, Ummul Khaba'ith. But we find that young people are now caught up in this vice of drinks and drugs. It is shocking. You know, one Ali mentioned to me recently that in one of the schools in Gauteng, I will not mention the names and all of that, but because the idea is not to condemn the people, but to condemn the action.
Yeah.
At one particular school, the principal of the school phoned this alim and told him that, Maulana, please come to the school urgently. He went. It was a Friday morning, Maulana, Friday morning.
Mm.
And there were, you know, probably about 8 or 10 or more Muslim learners in that school, boys and girls who were absolutely drunk, because they had taken some alcohol, and the principal said, please come, let's sort this problem out. I don't know what to do with these learners. And they had to be taken home in that condition.
Allah.
So these are the grave dangers that and challenges that our youth are facing today.
Yes, indeed.
Yes. So, you know, regarding the subject of substance abuse and drinking and drugging, this is a very, very in-depth discussion. This is something that can go into a lot of detail. I think there is a great need for, you know, all the stakeholders in our community, all the people involved in some way or the other with the society, whether it is social workers, whether it is religious workers, whether it is ulama and scholars, whether it is our educators at schools and madrasas, whether it is the elders of the community, all have to work hand in hand and have to work together to address this problem and to create this awareness. The awareness is extremely important. A lot of people are not actually aware of what is going on. They're blissfully ignorant of what is happening. They may be seeing certain signs, but they're not realizing what those signs are about. And therefore, this awareness is extremely important. Alhamdulillah, here at our organization in Durban, Darul Ihsan, Maulana, we launched a particular initiative which is called DAD. D-A-D, Drugs Awareness Drive.
SubhanAllah.
And Alhamdulillah, there is actually a website up as well. If they just go to the Darul Ihsan website, inshallah, you'll see this it's a sister site of Darul Ihsan. It's called the Drugs Awareness Drive. And we've tried to gather as much material and information relating to drugs and the experiences of drug addicts and what they go through and what happens. So inshallah ta'ala, that will hopefully provide a kind of a useful resource for people who want to do some reading up and who are facing this challenge and problem, and some probably some suggested solutions there as well. There are some lectures and talks that were delivered by some of the specialists in the subject of drugs and substance abuse. So inshallah, all of those things could be found on the DAD website.
Inshallah.
So inshallah, I think we're probably running out of time now, Maulana.
Ji.
So we leave it at that. But indeed, we can see, you know, on the basis of what was discussed today, there are so many challenges that the youth of today are facing, perhaps which were never ever witnessed in the times of the past. We were also youth. We also grew up through some times in our lives, Maulana. But it's nowhere near the kind of challenges that we are seeing the youth of today facing.
Mm-hmm. Yes, indeed. Mufti Sahab, Jazakumullah for the time, much appreciated. And we encourage our listeners to visit the website DAD. Hopefully they will not get dead after visiting the website, inshallah.
Inshallah.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.